I don't have a clue what we're doing this morning. I've got several different things. I'm just going to read some scripture, and we're going to see where God takes us.
Amen.
God's up to something this morning, folks. If you're ready, and you receive it, get into it. It's going to bless you and change your life. I promise you. My life, too. All of us.
Amen.
I'm just going to start reading Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, we're talking about Paul and Silas here, this is a good example of how the world is today. You know, they're trying so hard to legislate God out of everything, to move him out of the picture. You talk about an exercise in futility. God's been with us, and the Word of God's been with us, and things been going on because He created the earth for 6,000 years, and it's going to take a lot more than some puny podunk government who are all mixed up, don't understand what it is that they're, how this country was founded, or what it is that who created them, to mess it up. I love the song that came out years ago with the Gaithers, I believe it was the Gaithers or somebody did, that talked about they've tried to silence it in every way they could, and yet that spark is still there. Behind the Iron Curtain, where it was crime, some of the communist countries where you can be put to death, China, you know, for having underground churches and things, which was the only way they could have church. They don't want to hear about God because God puts pressure on their life. His light shines in and puts pressure on your life to change and to grow and to, come into His image and likeness. And the only reason we know by the Scripture that people don't want any part of it is because they like darkness. And the reason they like darkness is because their deeds are evil. And the light shines in on the darkness and exposes them. This is what happened in this story here. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by her fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." Well, at least she got something right. She was listening to the right spirit then. "Who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. How many of us get greatly annoyed at what we see and hear out there? Of the nonsense that comes and tries to hit, come right to our face. "And this she did for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." Verse 19. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up to gather against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Isn't that just like the enemy, to try to come along right when you're doing good, God's moving, to try to put a silence on it? Every time you turn around, they're trying to take something out of our government places. This government was founded on the principles of God. Your money still says, "In God we trust." Right?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
I'm telling you, they're head over heels. These people who say they love this country. I'm here to tell you, the people who love this country are not only the soldiers that have gone and given their lives, our forefathers and the young men and women from today, but they're the people who love God. They're the ones who love this country because they're out for the good. And the only good that can come is through God. Amen? Hallelujah. They want to change the Constitution. They want to do all kinds of things. Well, I don't want to talk about that today. But the point is that you'll always find an attack when you're doing good and you're preaching the gospel of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
The bottom line is we've got the armor of God. We've got the Holy Spirit. And we've got angels that go before us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then in verse 25, it talks about the jailer. And this is the important part. This is where the emphasis is. Did we read verse 24? Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How many of us, when we get in the middle of a trial or some situation that really is not comfortable, and it looks like, Lord, I don't know where this came from. I don't know what's going on. Why is this happening? Take the time to praise and worship Him. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
Amen. How many can give thanks for the things when they come, trials and things? Amen? That's what you're supposed to do. Not because you're being, not because of the trial, but because of the outcome of that trial, the outcome of that situation. God's about to show Himself strong in the behalf of this jailer who doesn't even know Him at this point. But He's also showing Himself strong in behalf of Paul and Silas and all the men in prison. We're about to read where God moved mightily, and as a result, people got saved. Well, now this didn't turn out the way those magistrates wanted it to turn out. They wanted to silence those boys. But the power and glory of God came and changed the whole situation around.
Amen.
And like always, somebody got swept into the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." Now listen here. What happened here is he got afraid. But because of the anointing that was in that place from the praise and worship of Paul and Silas, he fell down at their feet when he found out they were all there. They cried out, God spared his life. But if we look here, what we're going to read is we're going to find out not only he got saved, but his entire house.
Amen.
Amen.
When you follow God, you do what God wants. It doesn't make any difference how loud the enemy squawks. We're going to come out on top. We're going to come out on top. Can't help it. Can't help it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. You might as well just sit back and praise God and thank Him for it, because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Doesn't your Bible says that He turns all things to good for those that love Him and those that are called according to His purpose? Amen? Isn't that what it says? Hallelujah. You read Romans 8:28. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household," in verse 31. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour, let me try again. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now, what are we seeing here? What we're seeing is the preaching of the gospel, people getting upset like they do today. I mean, it's been the same throughout the last 6,000 years. That's why Jesus was crucified. Because of some uppity people who, bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds, decided that their laws and their customs were greater than the Word. Jesus is the living Word. He was the Word incarnate. He is the Word incarnate. Amen? So here they are. So then they take them, and the government at that time, the magistrates and the people were upset because their ill-gotten gain was done away with because the spirit was cast out of this woman. And then they get thrown into prison after they're beaten, and they start praising and worshiping God, and the glory of God comes down. And the Word goes forth anyway, and a whole family gets saved because of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We get our focus too many times on the things that are going on around us rather than keeping our focus where it belongs. Amen. How many of us would have been able to sing and praise the Lord in a situation like that. Here you are stuck in this dark, dark prison, and the way back in the back part, feet in stocks, and they start to sing and praise and worship God. Well, first thing I want to think about and what I want to ask is, what else you got to do?
Well, you can sit there and moan over the stripes on your back. That's what some people do.
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean,
that's not productive. So really, what else have you got to do?
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And by entering into praise and worship, they brought the glory of God down, caused an earthquake, and people got swept into the kingdom, which is what they were about anyway when they came to that town. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I like the old saying, if all the devil's brains were dynamite, there wouldn't be enough there to blow his nose. Come on now. I mean, look at the nonsense. The very word tells you that if they had known, or if he had known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of God. See, when you're in sin and darkness, and you're in rebellion against God, you don't think straight. You don't think straight. I can raise my hand. How about you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's power, when we praise and worship Him. I enjoyed that this morning. I enjoyed it. Being in the presence of God, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. When you get in the presence of God and you hush your mouth, you're going to hear something. You're going to hear something. Amen? Praise the Lord. The bottom line is, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what happens in your life, if you keep your focus on Him, if you keep on praising and worshiping Him, no matter what, keep on giving thanks, then you're going to see His hand move. You can't help it. I don't care how bleak or dark the situation looks, you're going to see His hand move. And you're going to see great things done as a result of it. You're going to see His hand move. You'll see people saved. You'll see people set free. Doesn't the Bible say, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll make alive your mortal body?
Yes.
Doesn't He tell us, you'll do these things and greater things in My name? Hallelujah. We have the words of eternal life here. We have the keys of the kingdom right here. We have the ability to set the captives free.
Amen.
Preach the will of the good pleasure of the Lord. You're a liar, devil.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Keep your voice and rest a minute, Bill. I got something that just came across my mind. And amazing how we're coming into this new holiday season. And it's amazing how I hear many, many people getting together downtown, and they get in with orchestra and they sing the Hallelujah chorus. Of course, that's everything. Everybody's singing it. And I hear Hallelujah is being said in many sports places. You know, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and they don't even know what they're saying because Hallelujah is praise. And Yah is short for Yahweh. It means praise God.
Yes.
They're praising God, and they don't even know it. And yet they wouldn't come near a church.
Yep.
If you don't praise Me, even the rocks will sing out.
That's right.
Right.
But these people are doing it without even thinking. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Well, isn't it interesting? I don't know about you guys. You know, I'm sorry. I'm kind of like a dog. I kind of go, some things I just kind of look at, you know. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me. Isn't it amazing, the very people who are the ones who are the most adamant against God, when they're facing imminent death, what's the first thing they do?
Yeah,
cry. They call us for prayer.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they cry out for God, I'll tell you that. That's why they say there's no atheists in foxholes. When you're facing imminent death, and even if you've been the worst atheist or worst agnostic that there ever was in the world, when you're facing imminent death, the first thing you're going to do is cry out, oh, God. Now, what does that tell you? There's something in you that's built in there because you were created by God that it runs or wants to run towards Him.
Yes.
And the only way that it doesn't do that is if you stifle it.
Right.
I'm so glad I surrendered. Aren't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, when you look back, the trials and things, they really worked out for your good, didn't they? Didn't you get stronger? Didn't you grow? Didn't you get more wisdom, more understanding, more insight? Aren't you better off today? Hey, it looked black for a while in some of the situations some of us have gone through. Maybe you're going through right now. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. I want to tell you something. Wednesday night I talked about, I got a call from my boss. I don't remember what night it was. And he calls me up and he says, Bill, I want you to go in Friday morning for an interview at 10 o'clock. Okay. So I went in and I was telling Harry this morning, I went in for that interview. Isn't it just like God? Went in for the interview. And I'm telling you right now, I didn't have a clue. I was nervous, a cat on a hot tin roof. And went in there and had the interview, and I've got all these big shots from the company, the local branch, but three operations managers and the branch manager sitting in there. And they're asking me questions and talking to me about this job. I walked out of there thinking, man, you blew that. You blew that. I got a phone call that night, 9 o'clock at night. I'm just about to go get, you know, in fact, I'm in the middle of getting ready to go to work. My boss called and says, Bill, he said you did really good in the interview. Only God, folks, only God.
Favor.
Then he turned around. Now get this. Not only did he say that it was going to be tough for them to make a decision, or for Randy, the manager, branch manager, to make a decision. Of course, it'll be with the input of all the other people. But the outcome is, whoever the person they choose for that job, the runner-up's going to get another job that's just waiting in the wings, which means already an increase, a substantial increase in pay.
Hallelujah.
No lose situation. It's a win-win situation. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The interview was for a manager position or a supervisor position for the support team or what they call flex officers. And it turns out they're going to have an account manager position open. Apparently there's some changes that need to be made. If I walk in there not knowing what's going on, and next thing I know, God set the whole thing up. Yes, Beverly.
What is a flex officer?
A flex officer, that's basically support team or flex officer. That's somebody who fills in when others have to be gone for doctor's appointments, vacations, because you have so many positions on a client's property, and you have to fill those positions. You can't let them go open. Yeah, exactly. That's a good word, substitute. You got it. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, I don't know about you guys, but that's what keeps me motivated. I get up in the morning, I say, God, where are we going today? Where are we going today? I want to know. Nothing thrills me more. You know, and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom.
Amen.
I probably shared this with some of you before, but I walked into a police supply years ago. It's down in Bob and Karen's neck of the woods. And I walked in there, and of course I used to do business with them years and years ago when they were downtown. A guy by the name of Joe Albert used to have a shop downtown. Some of you may remember that. And they did all the law enforcement supplying and stuff, uniforms and all that for the State Patrol and Denver Police and all of them. Anyway, there was a gentleman who worked in that store called, his name was Mr. Neve. I don't know his first name, I'll just call him Mr. Neve. Anyway, he had three or four or five sons, and so they decided they were going to start their own when Joe Alpert's closed down, and you know he was getting up in age and stuff, so he shut it down. So they started their own, Neve's Police Supply. And I walk in there, and I'm there to purchase things that I need, and all of a sudden the youngest son starts telling me his whole life. I mean, I came in to purchase police supplies, and here he is, he's spilling his guts. That's a setup by God. Why did he do that? He didn't know me from nothing. Never laid eyes on me before. And I was able to minister to him. Praise the Lord. I like when God sets those things up. You know? There's been other situations in my life. I'm sure everybody here's got testimonies like that. Where God sets it up. Man, there's nothing I like more, too. God, you know, whatever you want. I'm eager to share. I don't want to just go spilling. Can I just be vulgar for a minute? I don't want to just go vomit all over people with the Word of God. But I want to be instant in season when God says it's time to move. Amen? I want to be able to give an answer of the hope that's within me when I'm asked. Amen? You know, I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's exciting. When you get a chance to minister to somebody who needs ministry and God sets it up and watch God do something supernatural, You know, that's why I'm forever telling everybody, and why I love this, man. I'm telling y'all, I know you didn't know that. I'm just here to tell you. But I love this. I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God every day of my life.
Amen.
I anticipate it. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And I like being used by Him. How about you?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, if you don't think God loves you, you stop and look at the times that God's used you already. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And that also gives you an understanding of how much He loves other people too. And when He said, "It's not my will that any should perish," praise God. Praise God. We are His hands. We are His feet. And unlike the song, we need to get moving. Amen? We need to get moving. Hallelujah. We heard this morning, God spoke through Richard. He's been telling us for a long time now. Our eyes have not seen, nor our ears heard, nor has it entered into our hearts the things that God has prepared for His people, for those that love Him. Praise the Lord. So here Paul and Silas are in jail. And you're right, they could mope around. That's what some of us would do. Come on, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. You're no different than me. You'd be thinking, "Dear Lord, how did I end up here?" Well, how many remember the story of Joseph? I'm sure he was asking the same questions. But you know what? God said, the people who did the evil to him meant it for harm, but God meant it for good to save many people alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're so introverted and so self-focused. Mercy. And we just stop for a minute. Get out of ourselves long enough to just give God a little praise and a little worship. Man, you might be surprised what's right around the corner in your life. You know, somebody said here recently, you know, that, you know, one person can only do so much and you may only touch one person. Yeah, but you may touch that one person who God's called to touch many.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We're too finite-minded. That's why when we pray, we need to be praying, every one of us, praying, "God, I want to see what you see. I want to know what you know. I want to think your thoughts. I want to speak what you want me to speak." Amen? We need to be praying that. We need to be walking that every day. Because you don't know who you're going to impact. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, folks, probably everybody in this room knows this. The day of the big evangelists and the big preachers is over with. I'm not saying God's not still using them. Please don't hear me say that. And I love these men, a lot of these men, just as much as you do. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God's taking the obscure, what seem like insignificant people. I don't know what I'm doing standing up here. I have no clue. All I know is God said, "Do it," so I'm doing it. If you're getting ministered to, then you know who to give glory to, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And do it. He said, "Do it," so I'm doing it. And if it's helping y'all, it's helping me, I'll tell you right now. You know, there's what comes out of my mouth, I'm telling you, there's a lot of times things just, wow, I learned something. That's what happens when you let God be in control. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm a firm believer that unless I've built your faith, unless I've encouraged you, I've exhorted you, brought you comfort, I've failed you. So you're the judge of what happened today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. I like what Stan said just prior to their moving back to Texas. You get in that roller coaster or that car and you strap yourself in and you just go for the ride. And let me tell you something. You've never experienced the thrill on any actual roller coaster like you're going to feel and experience with God.
Amen.
Exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I remind you too, in this case, I'll bet you Paul and Silas thought, "This is out of control." Yeah, but let me remind you, when God's in control, you're never out of control.
That's right.
Did you hear me? Praise the Lord. When He's in control, you're never out of control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I trust you were ministered to today. It doesn't take an expanse of words to get the point across. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Men of faith prayed this morning. We were all in agreement. And so if God's accomplished something, it was because they prayed and because God's good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen? He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I want to give an opportunity. If anybody needs prayer for anything, now's the time. Don't leave here with your need unmet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I've never done this before, so how do you feel?
What?
I've never done this before.
Never done what? There's the first time for everything. Praise the Lord. Okay? I'm not going to stand here and preach at you. What I'm going to do is tell you, first of all, just simply, he didn't take your brother. The character in the Bible that talks about life-taking is the one who's the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. His character is destructive and detrimental to all life. The character of God is to give life and that more abundantly. So God didn't take your brother. But I'll tell you what, God's the one who, even at the point of death, can call your brother into his presence. Amen? It's not up to us to judge. It's not up to us to judge. Praise the Lord. Stretch your hands forth. Your hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Some, they may have sent some people, I don't know.
My son, he's a mechanic on the truck. And my boys are from California. And I haven't heard from my one boy in about 2 or 3 days. He usually goes there in the morning. And, my other boy.
Are they firefighters? All the old firefighters?
The one is, he's a mechanic on the fire.
What about the other boys?
The other boys, I don't know.
You don't know what they do?
The one might be there, but they might all be there. I don't know.
Okay. But you don't know what they do?
I know my one boy, he's with El Talis and things like that.
Okay.
My other boy, he works on ships and things like that.
Okay.
But I don't know if that, you know, as far as what they're saying. The one boy I know is San Diego Fire Department.
I have a niece and her family had to evacuate, and a nephew and his family had to evacuate. And we still haven't heard, so we're getting kind of, they may be not able to call, you know, yet.
Well, God knows.
He does.
Amen.
I'm trusting him.
We just read about the fact that Jesus, or Paul and Silas, told that jailer. Jesus told the jailer what he could do and say. It's in God's hands, Beverly. We don't have to worry about it anymore. It's in God's hands. It's taken care of. If you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing, the animals that come to the ocean? I think that's so beautiful. They're all the animals are coming. Now we have to help those animals.
Praise the Lord.
God's got it under control. He's got it under control. Amen. If you trust God, you trust Him. And if you don't, you don't. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be blunt, but that's the way it is. You got to come to that place in your life where God is either God or He's a liar. You make that decision. I believe He's for real. I've seen Him do too many things in my life and other people's lives. And not only that, during the history of this church, we've seen, because of our prayers, God move mightily. Amen. You've even seen it too, haven't you? Because we prayed. Done deal. Done deal. There you go. Yeah. So. Well, we praise the Lord about that. We praise the Lord about that testimony. Yes. Yeah. So. And He's not done yet. He who has begun a good work in you will accomplish that work until the return of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for who you are, Lord. We're grateful for what you do, Lord, but we thank you and we love you for who you are. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord. Fathers, we dismiss now. I pray that your word will be sealed in every heart. And Lord, right now I ask that you would let your face, I speak this over your people, that your face and your countenance would shine on these people. That you'd reveal yourself and show them, Lord, more and more every day, that your thoughts for them are good and not for evil. And that means when calamity or anything comes, Lord, it's not coming from you. But we have two choices. We can focus on the calamity, or we can rejoice in you and watch those prison doors go flying open, and the stocks that bind us, the weights, those things that we're concerned about, fall off. That's what I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these people. Bless them. Enrich them by your presence and your word, Lord. And for this, I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we dismiss. Bless their week in Jesus' name.